How often we must learn what God said through His prophet Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And of course, Israel as a nation were certainly to experience that when God delivered them out of the land of Egypt. The way in which He was to take them was not what they had expected. And we can glean that, something of it at least, from the words of verse 17. "Came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near." He didn't bring them by the nearest route, which would have meant that they were next going to face the Philistines and there would have been war. He didn't bring them that near route by which they would land themselves at Canaan within 5 or 6 days' journey. The Lord always knows what is best. And He was to take them by the way of the wilderness. And the point at which they are found in these words is given to us at the end of verse 20. They were on the very edge of the wilderness. But the question that looms large before us and before them is, how were they ever going to find their way through that great howling wilderness? How were they ever going to reach the borders of Canaan? This was a day without maps and without charts. Up until now, things had progressed with somewhat ease because it was territory that Moses knew well. He was one who could lead them out of the land of Egypt by the opening of the Red Sea as God gave it to them. He could lead them as they made their way out of bondage. But what about the rest of the journey? This was uncharted territory. And that is where God, by His miraculous power, steps in. For while we can consider other great manifestations and other great types of Christ that are found in the book of Exodus, such as the bush that was burning with fire and yet not being consumed, such as the Passover lamb through which the people knew deliverance and salvation, and by which salvation is still to be found for the entangled sinner tonight. Those are great types of Christ. And yet, men and women, we are confronted with another one here. The children of Israel are about to tread an unknown path. There are no paths and tracks there to find their way through. It is a wilderness. It's a wilderness where there would be no friendly guides to give them direction. Canaan seems so far away. And so it might be for some believer. Some child of God who has had the chains of sin broken and yet the desired end seems so distant. And how can it be safely reached? As a church, how can we reach the place where God would want us to be? And the answer to them all is God Himself. As we see here, Christ, our pillar. I want you to consider firstly tonight the properties of the pillar. The Lord didn't allow them to wander aimlessly. He didn't send them some natives who may have been able to guide them into the safest paths. He didn't even inspire the mind of Moses with an unnatural instinct for that untrodden land. There was no charismatic frenzy here with God's servant. He simply descended Himself as a pillar of cloud into that camp to take up the office of a guide. And there are some properties about this cloud that we must give thought towards tonight. I want you to understand that it was singular. There was only one pillar. Whether it was in the midday glare of the sun or in the darkest night, the substance of the pillar was the same. Yes, we note the detail of words of verse 21. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night." During the day it was seen as a cloudy pillar, but at night it was seen as a pillar of fire. But listen, there was only one pillar. It was the same essentially in the day as it was in the night. And dear people, what a characteristic that is of the Savior Himself. The Christ who was foreshadowed in Eden as the one who was cut to come as the seed of the woman who had bruised the serpent's head, is the same Christ that was to be born in the manger. The Christ to whom Abel looked to when he was to bring the best of his flock as an offering unto God is the same Christ that stood with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. He who was the seed of David, he who was the theme of the sweet psalmist, he who was the message of every prophet. Listen, it was the same Christ who was to come and the same Christ who was to offer himself as for that once for all sacrifice for sin on Calvary's cross. And the same Christ who laid down that life. The same Christ who was buried in that virgin tomb according to the scriptures was the same Christ that rose again. He had a bodily resurrection, and he's the same Christ who ascended back to the Father's throne. And the message of the angels to his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 11, is they said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. That same Jesus is coming back to this earth again one day. And he's coming in all his glory. He's coming to the Mount of Olives. And every eye shall see him. It is this same Christ. The Shorter Catechism speaks of the only Redeemer of God's elect as God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. And I impress that upon your heart tonight that there is only one Savior, there is only one door into heaven, there is only one substitute, there is only one righteousness, there is only one hope for sinful and for guilty lost sinners. There's only one plea, one who can plead before God's judgment seat as her advocate with the Father. There's only one ransom for the sinful and for the guilty soul. You see, we are being told we live in a multicultural society. And Britain is full of false religionists tonight, and they have all their gods. But there's only one way to heaven. This same Jesus. There's only one pillar, you see. Oh, there was two natures, cloudy in the day, fiery at night. But one pillar. The world may seek other saviors, but they will find none, just as Cain was to find out to his eternal cost. Are you trusting the only savior tonight? But something else, let me show you that not only is it singular, but it was a solid pillar. The clouds are not that which speak of something being solid, because they often are blown about by the winds and by the storms. And we have seen something of that in the latest natural disaster in the Far East. The greatest technological advanced nation could not stand against the power of nature. But the pillar of cloud that was to go before the nation of God's people, it was something that was solid. It could not be blown off course by the winds of the desert. It could not be shifted. It was immovable. It was unshakable. And dear people, so it is with Christ and with the wonderful plan of God's great salvation. There are no assaults or fiery darts of Satan that can shake the eternal plan and purpose of God. No cunning plan that has the print of the devil upon it can go unchallenged, and neither can they succeed. Every arrow that has been pointed at God's plan, every skill, every deception of the old adversary has been used to frustrate the coming of Christ, but all to no avail. The devil was to cause Eve to be deceived in the garden. The devil caused Cain to rise up against his brother Abel. Why? Because he thought that a promised seed of Christ would come through Abel. But God gave Adam and Eve Seth. Right down through the scriptures, the plan is seen there. To be unshakable as the arrows of God, as the arrows of the devil were placed against it. But they were all to no avail. When he did come, the Savior, they took him and they nailed him to the cross, and the taunts around the cross were, if he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. And the devil still, he's still at his work. He's still trying to frustrate the eternal plan of God's salvation. But praise God that Christ was unshakable in fulfilling His Father's will. And Christ endured the cross and He despised the shame that He might finish the work and He might purchase unto Himself a people that were redeemed with precious blood. When all the forces of hell were marshaled against Him, it was Christ our pillar who stood firm and who stood unshakable. Dear pillar, dear people, that's the pillar that I lift up before you tonight. It's not the pillar of a church or any denomination. It's the pillar of Christ. And in doing so, you have every confidence that although the heavens will crumble into dust and although the earth will be moved, yet Christ is solid. He cannot be shaken. The hymn writer speaks of Him as the solid rock. Is that where you're standing tonight? And you will consider that this pillar, not only singular and solid, but this pillar was seen. The day it was seen as a cloudy pillar, yet at night it was seen in all its fiery brilliance. The people saw the cloud over the tabernacle which represented the Shekinah glory of the Lord. You look at Exodus 33 in the words of verse 9. And it says, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. They saw the pillar. And as the darkness descended, it was seen in all brightness. Dear soul, that is how the Scriptures present the Christ of God. He is to be found in every page. He is to be seen in all His glory and in all His brightness. He is to be seen in all His aspects. And the call upon every soul is to see Him throughout the Word of God. It is to behold Him. John the Baptist could say, standing by the river bank, behold the Lamb of God which beareth away the sin of the world. Even Pilate was caused to say those words, behold your King. Behold Christ tonight. Behold Him. Behold the only way of life. And where is Christ's person best seen? Surely it is in the darkest hour of need. That's how it was with the camp of Israel. Verse 21. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. When the earth was wrapped in night, it was then that the pillar clad itself in robes of fire. It shone that all might see it. Dear people, when gloom oppresses and when the mists of despair and horror arise and the prospects are of the darkest and the blackest hue, it's then that Christ is to be seen in all His beauty and all His glory. It's then that the Lord illuminates the way before us when we have to traverse through the difficult, rough paths and the valleys of life. And as that pillar would have pointed heavenward, and so Christ alone points the weary soul to that heavenly abode, and to a reconciled Father through the blood of His cross. Tell me tonight, have you seen Christ in all His beauty? You see, to the natural man, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. But unto us who believe, He's precious. Which is He for you tonight? Let me show you, secondly, the purpose of the pillar. It can be easily understood the primary purpose of the cloudy pillar by day, the pillar of fire by night, was one of guidance. It was given so that the nation of Israel would be led through that vast land. It was God Himself who would lead them. And so we read in their verse 21, "And the Lord went before them." When it proceeded, then the nation advanced. When the pillar stood still, then it was then that the camp of Israel stood still. They came to rest. Nothing was left for them but to observe, but to submit and to follow. When it moved, it was for their good. When it stood still, it was for their good. They were called not to reason or doubt. They were just called to obey. And so it is with the Church of Jesus Christ. When the sinner is led to Christ for salvation, they have one who will lead and guide every step of the way. We are not left to ourselves, but it is the Lord who goes before. We're no different to the church in the wilderness here. We have the same leader, we have the same pillar. And as God's people were cared for just the same as those that we read about in these verses who were to be led through the wilderness. But you know, the question might be asked, well, how does Christ fulfill His purpose in leading and guiding His people today? We do not have the pillar of cloud or fire that is visibly manifested before our eyes, but nevertheless, saving faith can still see that unseen hand that guides and directs us in the way in which we should go. How does Christ guide us? Today Christ fulfills His purpose to lead by the pure Word of God. It is our present complete and perfect map and chart to guide us from earth to glory. In it you will discover the upward climbs. In it you will discover the downward slopes, the hidden snares that are to be aware of, and the plains of safety. They're all there and much more. Behoves us to have the spirit of Samuel when he cried, "Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth." And pray that God might give us a listening ear and a receptive heart to His word. There's no one who doesn't need to have the experience of which Isaiah speaks of in Isaiah 30 and verse 21. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." That's the word we need to hear. It shows a sinner the only way of salvation, and the way in which they must tread is repentance of their sin and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved tonight, thank God you're under the sound of the word. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And this book, it shows you that you're a sinner. It shows you your depraved state. It shows you that you cannot work your way to heaven. There is nothing of merit in you that will gain you acceptance with God. It shows you that you're lost. But praise God, the Word, the pure Word of God, it also shows you the only means of salvation, the only Savior, the only remedy for your sin. And to be saved, you've got to repent of your sin. You've got to turn away from it, and in saving faith is toward the Lord Jesus Christ. There's much said about faith today, but saving faith, the object of it, it's Christ, it's the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. The plain Word of God and the pure Word shows you those things. It shows a backslider the pathway of restoration to have again the joy of their salvation. It shows the believer who is going on with God the way to follow, the pitfalls to avoid, and the snares to step over. The pure Word of God is the companion that we all need. And isn't it summed up in those words of Proverbs chapter 6? Verse 22. Just listen to this. It says, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life." It's all there. Dear soul, would you reach that heavenly Canaan from the spiritually dry and dusty land, then cling to the pure Word of God. Pray it more and more into your soul, that its thoughts will be your thoughts, that its words will be your words. It was the Savior Himself who said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christ leads His people by His Word. It is His very hand. It is His very heart. Do you know what it is to be led by the Word of God? But then Christ also leads by His providences. It's God who controls every circumstance. There's nothing that takes Him by surprise. Nothing that happens by chance. The God who knows every hair on her head. And I'm getting less. He's the God who knows every sparrow and not one of them falls to the ground without Him knowing. It is Christ who guides and it's Christ who overrules every concern of life. And often so by His very providences. You ask Abraham's servant who was sent back to the land of the heir of the Chaldees in search of a bride for Isaac. He could say, I being in the way, the Lord led me. What about Joseph's brothers? When they sought to kill him, to slay him, who caused them to throw him into the pit? Whose providence was that found that old pit was dry, there was no water in it, it was God. Who caused the Ishmaelites to come by and He was sold down into Egypt so that He might be their Savior. Who was it that caused the king of Persia to have a sleepless night? Esther chapter 6 in the words of verse 1. And we read this. In the time of Esther, when the decree was going out against the nation of the Jews. Yet we read in Esther chapter 6 and verse 1. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. There was a providence of God. And that providence of God meant that Mordecai was honored, the Jewish people were spared, and old Haman the enemy was hanged. Whose providence was that caused old Simeon and Anna to be in the temple when the Christ child was brought in. The Lord guides, you see. The Lord leads by His providence so that the believer can take comfort in knowing that there is no unimportant event as far as God is concerned. The only counsel we need to remember is that His providences will never lead us to go against His Word. They will never contradict the Scriptures. His providence will be for the glory of God, for the promotion of His kingdom, and for His people to walk in the paths of righteousness. Christ guides by the pure Word of God, by the providences of God, and He guides by the power of His Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that opens our understanding. It's the Spirit of God who teaches us the things of Christ, for He shall not speak of Himself. John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Christ's purpose is yet to lead His people. Tell me, are you conscious of those guides in your own life tonight? Notice the word of Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's a very proof of the new birth. As many as are of the sons of God are led of God. There is His purpose to lead and to guide just as it was with the pillar. And then finally, let me show you its presence. It was Christ who guides His people and is seen in the pillar that came down into the camp. But notice that the presence of the cloud preceded them. It says in both verse 21 and verse 22 that the cloud went before the people. Those whom God brings into the wilderness, He'll not leave nor lose there. He'll take care of them to lead them through it. We never need fear missing the way who are thus led, nor been lost who are being directed, because it is Christ who leads. It is the great shepherd of our souls who goes before His flock, and He knoweth the way that His people take, for He has gone on before. And John 10 and 27 says, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And men and women, that challenges our hearts tonight. And the challenge goes out as this, who are you following this evening? The Lord was to say, He that is not with Me is against Me. You see, you're either following Christ or else you're following the devil and the spirit of this age. There are many leaders in this world and they're leading souls to hell. There are many downward paths and they lead souls to the caverns of the damned. But the path that Christ trod leads to heaven and to that heavenly Canaan. And that path must needs go by Calvary. Wasn't that what the hymn writer summed up in his hymn? We have it even in number 293. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. For there's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. Is that the way you're on tonight? Are you following Christ this evening? For He precedes His people. He is the first fruits of them that slept, so that all who trust and die in Christ shall rise again. He has entered into the holy place with His own blood, so that the veil being rent, His own redeemed one day shall enter in. Who are you following tonight? His presence also meant protection. You consider the words of Psalm 105, verse 39. Let me read them to you. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night. You see that word covering, and you can get the picture there. The cloud acted as a covering for them. The sense is that it hedged them in. He defended them. Yes, they were protected from the sun's scorching rays as they journeyed through that desert land. And they were protected from the onslaughts of the old enemy themselves when they came before the Red Sea. You turn over to Exodus 14, just the next chapter, look at verse 19. The angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it give light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And there's God protecting His people. The Lord, listen, is our hiding place. He is our shield. He gives that protection from all the onslaughts of the devil. Do you know what it is to shelter in this covert from the tempest of life? This pillar protected them. And the soul that knows God's salvation is one who is in Christ is hedged about and are shut in, just as much as Noah and his family were shut in by God into that ark. Oh, the eternal security of the child of God as we make our way to that heavenly Jerusalem. You wouldn't want to be anywhere else tonight other than being shut in with God, shut into Christ. Is that where you are? And you'll see also that this pillar was perpetual. Verse 22, He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The pillar never failed them. The pillar never left them. Even though they often failed the Lord, even though they murmured against God's servants, even though they were disobedient, still the mercy of God did not forsake them or did not withdraw the symbol of His presence, His gracious presence with them. Dear people, that cloud remained with them until they reached the Jordan. They crossed over. And so it is with Christ, you see. A beautiful type. His presence is perpetual. His presence will never fail us. He lovingly guides and leads His people until they cross into His immediate presence, into the full glories of that heavenly land. Is that where you're going tonight? Are you saved? Do you know what it is like Israel to be saved through the blood of the Lamb and guided by the Lord? Do you know Him? If not, come now. Embrace the Christ of Calvary. Embrace God's wonderful salvation. Be saved and be assured the Lord is leading you home to that heavenly land. May God bless His word to our hearts tonight for His own name's sake. Just let